now, broadcasting on StarWorldWideNetworks.com. It's time for Dr. Rademacher's Prescription for Transformation. Let's tap into your own authentic genius and live the life you desire. Join Dr. Rademacher for an enlightened conversation about our brain intelligence, our body intelligence, and our energy intelligence. And now, here's your host, Dr. Bart Rademacher.
I'm Dr. Bart Rademacher, and this is Prescription for Your Transformation. Real people, real conversations, and real success, and tapping into that intelligence that we find all over the world. Because you know what it is that we don't all have the answers. I mean, that's the truth, right? I mean, look at all the mistakes, all the failures that we have in our lives. And so the truth is that we really want to go out and find out these incredible human beings that create magic in their lives and magic for others. And that's why I'm so excited, especially excited to be talking to Brooke Bishop. So thank you so much for joining me today, Brooke.
No, I'm stoked to be here. Very happy to be here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so really just as a pre-frame, because this is the first time you're on my show, you know, the prescription for your transformation is to really how to tap into your authentic genius and live the life that you desire. And it's all about tapping into that collective wisdom and creating the space of generative collaboration. And it's really the essence of success for all of us, because I believe there's a genius within us. And all we have to do is, you know, tap into that brain intelligence that we have, you know, rather than the brain stupidity, right? So this is the purpose for today, is really how to get things done. You know, how is it that super incredibly successful people like yourself are able to get things done? And so this is a three-part series. So for today, we're going to be talking about clarity. So explain to us all about clarity.
Yeah, so clarity, in my opinion, clarity is everything, right? As far as if you're out at sea and it's foggy out, you're going to have a hard time trying to figure out where the heck to go. And I would say that, you know, and I've done thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of coaching sessions with people over the years, and the mass majority of people have foggy goals. They have foggy outcomes. They have foggy destinations around what it is that they're going after. More times than not, people are just, you know, they want out of pain, whether it's the pain of their relationship or the pain of their debt or the pain of their, you know, the excess weight that they're carrying around. And so most people are very clear of what they don't want, right? But very few people have absolute clarity and absolute certainty around what it is that they specifically are that bullseye that they're going after.
You know, I mean, I the metaphor I use, and forgive me for not absolutely totally introducing you today, because we just rushed into it. You know, Brooke Bishop has an extensive background in coaching. He's an entrepreneur. He's got all these incredible transformative programs out there. And so, you know, it's very exciting to see the kind of work that Brooke actually does. And as a humanitarian, is really leaving a huge impact on people's lives so that they can transform theirs to live the best lives possible for them or be the best version of themselves. And quite frankly, you know, I've gotten so much, you know, from you as well, Brooke. So thank you for that up front. But diving into that clarity, and what's interesting is this, is that it's sort of like, you know, you have an archer, he's shooting his arch, his arrow to the target. And yeah, clearly, if you don't know where the target is, then you're going to hit and you're going to miss the target. So my question then really, you know, what's so problematic in people getting that clarity? I mean, you know, it's obvious that we've got to have that clarity. It's obvious we have to know the destination on the map. But why this big struggle for people to identify what that clarity is?
Well, you know, one of my mentors, you know, I've had the benefit and luxury of working with some of the biggest names in the personal development world. But, you know, Tony Robbins was somebody I got to work with for 15 years, actually. And he had a statement that said, you know, where focus goes, energy flows. And, you know, when you look at the law of manifestation, you know, you look at a lot of these different universal or spiritual principles. Part of the magic is knowing what your destination is, what your end game is, where you're headed. Because all of your decision-making, and that's really the second piece of that, when you have clarity in your destination, it makes decision-making really easy. And if you look at true leaders, well, what separates them from the rest? Well, they make decisions, and they make decisions quickly, right? They don't have to deliberate. They don't have to overanalyze things. They don't have to go and, you know, fast for 14 days to figure out, should I go left or should I go right? Right. So when you have that absolute clarity and that certainty around your destination, decision-making becomes quick. Who you spend time with becomes very easy. What you do on the given day, why you wake up, you know, early in the morning, or why you stay up late at night, right? If you re-coordinate your world and the stars realign for that, that actual destination and that outcome. So if it's foggy, well, guess what? People vacillate. They become hesitant. Decision-making becomes, I don't know if I want to go left or I want to go right. So the other piece of that too is most people's language is from something I pulled from another one of my amazing mentors. You've gotten to do a lot of work with too, which is Chad Cooper. Right. So having colorful language in those outcomes is mission critical. And most people's outcomes, they're not very, I'll just say not very exciting. Right. So that's another huge piece of that puzzle of, again, knowing what you want, but also using language that's going to inspire and evoke an energy and a vibration within you because it's so exciting.
You know, I know that's going to be our second part, you know, in this series. Of, you know, what's that purpose? What's that emotion connection? But one thing that I've discovered, because as you know, I've been coaching as well, not as extensively as you have, but certainly have done it for many, many years. And where does fear actually fit in? Because are people sometimes fearful to make a decision as to what it is that they want? I mean, is it so that perhaps they're scared of success? And therefore kind of hold back? Or is it also what I found in myself at times is that I just don't have the clarity of what's even possible. And in fact, that was my journey because I trained for 17 years in the medical field. And so at that time, I figured, well, I'm at the pinnacle of medicine. I should know everything. In fact, I was speaking four languages at that time. I still do, by the way. But I learned four languages, and so I learned from the Greek classics, you know, Hippocrates, Socrates, all those guys, and didn't realize that I was actually kind of clueless.
Yeah. So I'm going to tread lightly on this. So I got into a debate earlier today, right? So there's talk of mask mandates coming back, and you know, vaccines, and just all the different dynamics that are surrounding COVID right now, and. So somebody had asked me what my stance was on it, and I won't get into all that because I know that just, it's a massively polarizing topic. However, it's polarizing for a reason. So what my question back to this in this debate that had sprung up, as I said, what are the key ways that humanity has been controlled? So I said, number one is fear. Mm-hmm. Number two is debt or enslavement, as I like to call it. Number three is confusion, right? And so then number four, what was number four? I forget what number four is. So those are the big three. But when you look at fear can, if you really can tap into what your fears are, they either become a slave master or they become a catalyst. And so, yeah, I think there's a lot of people that have fear both in terms of failure, but also to your point of, you know, having that fear of success. What I think people really have a fear of is a fear of the unknown. And what I think people have become, and I think this has been set up by design, by the way. And I know this is probably 14 other podcast episodes, but I believe that society has conditioned us to chase comfortability.
Right.
Right. We have thermostats in our house. We've got thermostats in our cars. We've got automatic windows, right? We don't even have stick shift vehicles. I don't even know if Jeep makes stick shift vehicles anymore.
It's the right? Half of those, by the way.
Nice. Good man. Don't conform. But there's this dynamic of we're supposed to be comfortable, right? Like we have comfortable mattresses. You go back 100 years ago, they didn't have comfortable mattresses, right? Like, you know, you go to different parts of Asia, you know, you'd spend a lot of time in Central America. Like most people don't live in that comfortable of a zone, but in the Western society, we've become addicted to comfort. Well, in my opinion, and what I've seen thousands of times over is comfortability leads to complacency, and complacency robs us of fulfillment. And so this avoidance of fear or this avoidance of change or this hunger towards comfort is actually what's been robbing the masses. So yeah, going back to your original question, you know, the fear dynamic, most people won't even sit down and get clear about what they want because they're petrified that they may not get to it. Right. And, you know, we look at when we're kids, when we're little kids, it's like, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? Like, we don't think of the how or what if I fall. Like, no, it's the sky's the limit. It's we go for this vision of what could be, right? And so there's this element of how do I want to frame it? We don't put restrictions on it because we're not petrified of falling short. But over time, we get references and we have experiences and we have heartaches and we have all these different connections that we make in our brain. And then we start to settle and we start to go after a job and we go for, well, what will they pay me hourly versus who can I impact on the planet? Right. And so I think that that's a huge piece of the puzzle too, is really those references that for lack of a better term, they fuck us up. Right. I don't know if I can say that. Are we going to be edited?
No, you can absolutely say that. No, no problems there.
Great.
You know, and here's the truth. And again, as you say, I mean, you know, we need our community. We need our society. We need our culture. It's sort of that grounding of our existence. We need that kind of reference point. And then, as you say, you know, when the culture determines that this is how you should be, or this is how you cannot be, you know, then I think that's perhaps a big factor in this whole idea of not moving forward because you're fearful of that failure. Just imagine you failing and, you know, and the shame that is associated with that. Or in fact, on the other end is the success, and then you lose connection with your community because you've left them behind. You know, the truth too is I think what's also happening to us is an identity crisis. You know, who are we really? And with such an incredible amount of diversity in our world today, you know, we're just inundated with ideas and concepts and possibilities and all this. You know, it's sort of like, okay, you know, what do we do next? Is this the right thing for me? And so, as you say, that there's that confusion in all of this where you don't really know what's going to be the best path. And then, oh my gosh, what if I pick the wrong path? So I miss out. So maybe better not choose anything because now I'm not responsible for picking the wrong thing. And then of course, you know, finally, you know, as I look at too, is what you don't know that you don't know. And so that can
Is there be a wrong path?
I'm sorry, what?
Is there a such thing as a wrong path?
Well, actually not in your world and certainly not in my world.
Yeah, I think that's what a lot, to your point, I mean, I think a lot of people are afraid of making the wrong turn, not realizing that, well, this is my philosophical belief, so I don't know if this is truth for everyone, but I believe we are here to expand. And expand in our knowing, expand in our consciousness, expansion in our experience, expansion in our love, expansion in our emotions too, right? And so again, we go back to how much of the world is numbing out, whether it's on TV or whether it's through chemicals or whether it's through medications, right? Whether there's all these different things that, you know, my belief is we're here for expansion. And yet I see a lot of systems that are causing people to contract versus going in the other direction. And so, yeah, I don't think there is such thing as a wrong path. I think that there's a choice of how do we perceive that path and what's the meaning that we give it.
No, absolutely. And I was at Abraham Maslow who said he was the father of the modern psychology, the positive psychology movement, if you will, where in contrast to, you know, Freud was seeing what was wrong with people, he was seeing what's right and not seeing that there's anything negative, but everyone is either positive or neutral. And what he was saying, what one can be, one must be. And that's, you know, in tune exactly what you're saying, you know, is how do we become the best version of ourselves? Because ultimately that is where we get all the fulfillment. As you know, that we've learned, you know, growth is where we're happiest, you know, with contribution. But what's also interesting, and, you know, when the Greek philosopher Seneca said something to the effect that we can't live a tensionless life. And later psychologists, you know, philosophers brought that in as well, is that, you know, with tension, you know, we grow, we're fulfilled, we're, you know, we feel good. And interesting enough, and I love this quote, And this will be one that I'm going to offer you, because I don't know if you have this one. If you don't, that's great. And that is that we should not fear so much that things are difficult. We should fear that they're not difficult enough.
Oh, I like that. I'm definitely stealing that.
Yeah, definitely steal that one.
Love that.
And that's the truth. And, you know, getting out of your comfort zone, you know, finding out what's out there. And again, I had this conversation the other day on a new social media platform called Fireside. And the conversation was really, look, you know, if you don't step out of that comfort zone, you never get to experience what's actually possible. You don't actually get to see the magic that you didn't even know was there that can absolutely, you know, cause you to have an amazing, I mean, even more amazing life.
Well, it's an interesting point, because if you think about the times in life when you feel most alive, it's not the days when you stayed at home and you sat on the couch. Right. It's the days that you know, I know you like, you've got some off-roading toys, right? It's when you get out into the middle of nowhere and you do something crazy and you get somewhere where very few people have been, or you get on that stage and you have that adrenaline rush when you're like, oh my God, I'm petrified. Or you do that crazy physical feat, or you go scuba diving with sharks. Like, it's the crazy stuff that we remember. And that's like, wow, I did that. And again, it just takes you a little bit further out that expansion of what's possible. And I think that what's possible piece, that's where life gets fun.
Yeah. And again, it's a little scary at times, but that's the whole point. So really getting dialed back to this whole clarity thing, you know, and again, I think what's critical and in my experience, you know, with my clients as well, is that, you know, the first step, the absolute first step that I need to work with them, and I know that's the same thing that you do, is having clarity of what that outcome is. You know, not the process, not the steps. And like you shared with me earlier on, a lot of people just get focused on, you know, what are the strategies, what are the steps, what are the mechanics, you know, when really it's more about the psychology. And within that psychology comes clarity. And unless you have that clarity, don't even begin. But the one mistake that I think people do make is they're looking for way too much clarity. They're waiting for way too much perfection. So where, as your last comment, as we wrap it up on this part, on section one, is, you know, how much accuracy, if you will, percentage-wise, if you can give that to me, I've got my own number, but how much, you know, is good enough?
It's a loaded question. I would say if you can throw a rock in the air, wherever it lands, that's where you start. So I'd say that's as much as you need to get going. But I might answer your question in a slightly different way. And one of my other mentors, Mark von Mueser, another gentleman I know you're connected to as well in our circle. One of the things he used to have me do in the very beginning, when I started doing more vision questing or mapping out my goals, my outcomes, he called it vitamin N, right? So we'd go out into nature, whether that was the beach or the park, or, you know, into the ocean or into the mountains, the desert, wherever you're near. But we do a ton of grounding, and we go spend an entire day barefoot, sitting on the earth, and just what we would do is we would just pitch and catch, and we would talk about what would we want to experience. So it was more hinged around the experience we wanted to have, and we would dream big, and we wouldn't get wrapped up in, well, how the hell are we going to do it? Or we don't have enough money. Like, as soon as you go into that mechanical, strategic how-to, like, your brain's going to throw up those barriers. So I would say if you're within 75 to 80% accuracy of the experience that you want to have, that's plenty enough. Put it on the canvas, get going. And guess what? You can fine tune every step you take. You're going to learn another piece and you'll get that much more clarity. So I think that if you can point in the general direction of where you want to head, but the biggest piece is really to dream first and not let the barriers prevent you from dreaming.
I love it. So dream big. Dream experience, and it's ultimately always about that experience, and get close. It's not going to be exact, because I think too many people are paralyzed with not knowing enough of the information. My number, my threshold is about 80%. It's just kind of a loose number that kind of I feel in my body that, okay, I'm 80% there. Great, now I can go. But again, the clarity outcome is essential, because without that, you know, you're still kind of lost. So how do people find you?
So brookbishop.com, if you want to reach out to me directly. Another cool project that I'm a part of is called Proximity Ladder. And that's for people who want to uplevel their peer group, who are wanting help getting that clarity. We have a really cool process to help support people in that way. But yeah, those are proximityladder.com or brookbishop.com. Both easy ways to get a hold of me.
That's awesome. Yeah. Look for that. I think this is an incredible opportunity for those, you know, leveraging what's out there in the community in the sense that can help them. It's always about, I feel, a collaboration. You know, together, everyone achieves more, right? That's what team spells. Well, this is part two. Today, we're going to be talking about purpose. And this is an interesting thing that I believe that very few people actually really appreciate or take for granted. And potentially one of the things that really hold people back or slow people down to the point where they either just give up or they just never reach their goals. So explain to us, you know, we talked about, you know, clarity at first. You know, we've got to have clear outcomes. You know, it's sort of like if you're in the middle of the desert or the middle of the ocean and you don't have a map and you don't have your compass and you don't know where you want to go, then you're just totally lost. So we know we've got the clarity, but to drive that clarity, we need purpose. So explain to us how that works. But also I want to know, you know, why is it so hard for people to find their purpose?
I think language, well, I shouldn't say I think, I know with a great amount of certainty. So language is power, right? The words we use, I truly believe they're magic, and I believe they hold a vibration and a resonance. So people trying to find their purpose, the presupposition is already that it's missing, right? That they have to go out and seek it. They've got to go find it somewhere else, right? It's like an episode, or it's like rehashing Eat, Pray, Love. I am from the belief that we get to demand and command our universes. And so when it comes to purpose, I believe that we get to declare what our purpose is and that we get to then build our ecosystem around that. Going out and finding our purpose, I feel it's a very challenging thing. Because again, it's something that's outside of me versus something that I'm declaring within me. And I also believe that even if your purpose is wonky or if it's fuzzy, declare your purpose for today or declare your purpose for this moment. You know, I mean, even if you're washing dishes or you're taking out the trash, right? You can declare your purpose in taking out that trash and you can dance that trash bag to the street. So I think what happens for a lot of people is they're expecting this huge, well, for most people, they're waiting for either something magnificent, right? Like the sign from God, or other people are waiting for something catastrophic to happen. So they can go, oh, this is my wake up call. This is why I'm doing it. And I don't think that you have to do that. I think that you can wake up every morning and declare and condition, you know, that driving force that's there.
You know, I've thought about this many, many times over. And what I recognize for myself and when I've also seen some incredibly successful people and looked at their lives, it's almost like necessity was the genesis of the creation, of the creativity. So necessity is that leverage. Like if you find yourself in a very bad situation, that necessity creates the opportunity to change that, to solve that, so that, you know, magic then happens. So that's one way of getting purpose, I guess. I guess the other one is, you know, before we talk about language and the importance of language, is really finding, okay, who am I? And I believe that so many people have this identity crisis for whatever reason. I think we're just so inundated with too much information and we don't have a solid peer group around us that holds us to a higher standard. And therefore helps us, you know, identify, you know, who we are, because without that, then you don't know what you're supposed to do, right?
Yeah. Yeah. From a philosophical standpoint, you know, you ask that question, who am I? By the time you come up with an answer, like time has elapsed and you might have different responses that come up. And yeah, to your point, you know, the power of the peer group is so magical, because having that reflection back of who we are, it's definitely powerful. And the reality is who we see ourselves as is usually a diluted version of the truth.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, and again, I mean, sometimes people are trying to fit in society when they don't feel that alignment with society and therefore are confused.
And I say, good, right? Good. Confusion is magic, right? And I think what's more important than figuring out who we are is declaring who we desire to be, or even to going a step further and declaring who we desire to be remembered as. And in that, I think, is so many of the answers of how we live our life. And going back to, you know, the previous episode of gaining clarity, if you can ask that question, instead of saying why or what or where or any of those, I think the most important question that people should be asking is who. And it's who must show up, or who do I desire to be remembered as, or who do I desire to become? The answers that come from that are 10 times more powerful than the what or the why or the how.
So that leads to the next part, you know, and that's that connection, emotional connection with that purpose. And so how do we develop that? You know, what are the what's that process, if you will? I mean, how do we find that? That connection at the deepest level.
So purpose, so the way I look at purpose, it's really the fuel, right? So it's when you come up against those obstacles, and we can either bow to the obstacle or we can blast through it. It's that driver, that why, that purpose that's there, that's going to give us that fuel to roll through. And so what I found is that the further you can build out your story of purpose, what I mean by that is I look at it as layers. The first layer is like, what's in it for me? By the way, that's where the mass majority of population, they come from that framework. And we've been told to do that, right? You know, you look at MTV Cribs, you look at just the right. Social conditioning. But then if you look at, well, what's in it for my spouse, or what's in it for my kids, or what's in it for my pets? Well, then you go another layer out. Well, what's in it for my neighborhood? Okay, well, what's in it for my community? Well, what's in it for my state? What's in it for my country? What's in it for the planet? What's in it for the universe? Like, the further you can stack that story out, it gives you that fuel. There's literally an unrelenting, it's an endless tap of energy to break through those barriers and to break through those obstacles that come up. But again, if you stay with what's in it for me, that's going to be that, it's almost like eating sugar. It's like that quick fuel, but it goes away really fast too. And it jacks your insulin, right? But if you tap into what's in it for the universe, it's an endless supply to break through.
It's almost like your whole spirit expands, right? So that you really get to have a much vaster connection with the world around you versus, you know, it's just you. And what causes us to be so self-focused, you know, is when we're coming from a place of, say, scarcity or fear, or we're not enough, and we're in survival, right? And so, again, I think it has a lot to do with our beliefs and our values. What do we value? What do we believe? Do we believe that we're good enough? And do we believe that we can do more?
Well, I know you'd mentioned previously, you talked about Maslow, right? When we're in survival mode, the only thing that our brain hardwires into is surviving, right? And that's happened over thousands of years and many, many more years beyond that, right? But we're beings that are structured to survive. Well, that's a hell of a lot different than beings that are set up to thrive. And so you have to condition the thriving dynamics of our makeup. And again, the first step of that is having a knowing that there's enough, having a knowing that there's abundance, having a knowing that there's an infinite supply, whether that's financial resources, whether that's people resources, whether that's nutritional resources. But again, if you believe that there's scarcity or that there's not going to be enough, you're immediately back into what's in it for me, survival mode.
Yeah, and that's also the science of hope, isn't it? The idea that things can be better. And
absolutely.
You know, I've got a baby girl. I mean, she's not a baby anymore. She's 24. And we went to New Zealand on a great humanitarian trip. And so when I invited her to join me on that trip, I asked her, are you okay to speak in front of, you know, 1,000 people? And I was surprised, without hesitation, She said, yeah, sure. And she was what, 18 at the time. No, maybe 19 or something. But anyhow, but the point that I'm getting at is I asked her, I says, okay, what are you going to talk about? And so I told her, you know, just take a few days and figure it out. Within 30 minutes, she already knew what she was going to talk about. It was about hope. And for her, it was her journey, her story, and love what she said. And hope spells hold on, pain ends. And so it's true. I mean, we're in this place of pain, but we've got the sense that things can be better. So all we have to do is hold on to the belief, you know, that we can do this, that it's possible, that things are better, and there's a good reason to do it. And again, that drives purpose, right?
Yeah. I had a conversation with one of my team members earlier today, and, you know, he was caught between a rock and a hard place, because he's just like, based on where the status of the world is, he's like, I don't even think that I'll be alive in 5 years from now. And he's like, why not just throw in the cards and just live out my life for these next 5 years? And I'm like, where did this deadline come from? Like, where is this coming? And he's bought into the fear, right? He bought into what the media, what everything's telling him, that his life's going to end because he's not in control, and all these things outside of him are going to take over, and he's not going to be here. So why even try? And that's a very extreme representation of what's happening to many people internally. It's like, well, if I don't have this compelling future, or if I haven't found my purpose yet, why play big? So I'll just play small because that feels safe. And I can have these little wins, maybe on a micro level. And, you know, if I can just make it through one more day, well, after doing that for 4, 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, you start to see why a lot of people have hit this threshold of settling and comfortability.
Yeah. And there's that phrase, why don't we just settle for more? And the truth is that, you know, I think, again, it's a cultural phenomenon, right? And you don't want to stick out, you know, in case that you upset too many people, or you get challenged, or you get canceled, or whatever that is. But I think another perspective that I think is important, you know, for all of us, is the idea of, you know, number one, we've got to think big versus people telling us to play small. We've learned, you know, all along that we do, you know, people tell us to play small. And finally, you know, it's knowing that you're going to fall. And so it's not so much a matter of, you know, how many times you fall or how far you fall. It's about how quickly you stand up again. And I love what Ray Dalio talks about. I mean, this is what he calls his post-failure high. And so he loves failure because failure is his key to success. And I think it was Michael Jordan, you know, there was an ad about him where he's talking about failure, and, you know, failure is the key to his success.
Yeah. Yeah. Or fall forward, right? Fail forward. Right. I like the other Jordan quote too, where he just said, hey, I didn't lose any of my games. We just ran out of time.
I love that. And then, you know, the other quote that I love is from DeMantis in his book, Bold. He says, and this is the exponential entrepreneur, you know, motto, is fail quickly, fail forward, and fail often.
I love that. And so absolutely love that.
It is all about that. But you have to have a strong purpose, right?
You have to have a strong purpose, because if you don't, what will happen is those failures become judgments. And then as soon as they turn into judgments, now they become references. And once you have references, now they become excuses to not move next time. And I think that's the trickiest piece, is for people to like recognize if you fall or if you fail. And again, there's, in my mind, there's no true sense of failure, because you can learn from every piece and you can apply it moving forward. And it's obviously easy to say that in the moment, where when those big catastrophic things happen, we can be like, oh, this is a true failure. Well, only if you stay there and only if you don't grow from it. But again, making sure that those references, here's the way the brain works, is you want to stack all those references that move you to your destination, move you to the outcome, because the brain's really good at going back into survival. It's going to find those references real quick to cause you to want to stay safe and stay, you know, stay small. Yep. So yeah, it's again, in the same way that getting clarity and getting clear on the destination requires time and effort and conditioning, the purpose is something that should be gone through daily, if not multiple times per day, of why the hell am I doing this? Who's impacted? Who benefits? If I don't do this, who's going to be impacted negatively? What's the drawback? If I pass away and I don't get to that destination, what does that mean? Right? But to really stack that whole story so that you wake up with that fuel and that ignition from the get-go. Because again, obstacles are going to happen. Are you going to get disrupted? Is there going to be traffic that you're going to hit? Is there going to be financial turmoil? Is there going to be another pandemic? Is there going to be a hurricane that comes through? Hell yeah. But the question is, will you have the emotional fortitude to blast through it knowing that it's impermanent?
Yep.
So I love the acronym of HOPE that your daughter had, by the way. It's perfect.
Yeah, it's absolutely perfect. Yeah, I love it too. And I've used it many times. And here's the truth in what you're saying. You need more vitamin N, you know, to make sure that you understand all those parts of you. And I think that's one of the problems that we have today is that people don't take enough of that time. You know, like the question that I need to ask is, what do I not know? What do I not see? And you know where that comes from. And so, again, it's never about, you know, disciplining ourselves to do things. It's the strength of purpose. And like you just said, it's all these aspects. You know, who do we impact? You know, what happens if we don't do this? All these things. And we have an opportunity to work together, collaborate together. And that's also going to be, you know, our conversation in the next part. But it really is about the strength of purpose and especially the language. And I'm not using lame language, but using language that excites you, empowers you. And here's the truth that I would say that I think many of us face. Is that we don't have those mentors, we don't have those thought leaders, we don't have those exemplars like yourself that tell us, yeah, it's okay to think this way. Go ahead, have fun.
Yeah, no, we've been in, you know, cancel culture is the latest runaround of language, right? But the reality is we've been told we shouldn't make people feel uncomfortable.
Right.
And somewhere along the lines, I don't know who screwed this one up, but being successful or having a positive impact has now become something that's going to make other people feel uncomfortable. It's like, holy cow, where did the wheels fall off the tracks on that? And the reality is there are amazing people out there doing amazing things that want to see others, you know, championed in their own greatness and see them step up. And it's not going to make them feel bad because you stepped up and were great.
Yep.
If anything, it's just going to ignite a bigger fire in them to play bigger.
Yeah. And part of, I think, what's happening too, and obviously this is not getting political, but I think, you know, there is an identity crisis and people are, and this is no criticism, you know, feeling their own inadequacy in life and they're reaching out to a cause. So it's sort of like that phrase, rebels without a cause. So they're reaching out to these causes so that they can feel better about themselves. The problem is that a lot of these causes are really misdirected. I mean, there may be some elements of truth or elements that would be beneficial, but the process and the elimination of free speech and all that, you know, is not. And it really deteriorates, you know, all of society when we start thinking that way. It's all about, you know, let's work together. You know, let's find, you know, a way to collaborate in a genuine, authentic way so that we can make life better. And instead of pulling people down so we can feel better, let's actually push everybody up.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's the, the rising tide lifts all boats, right? The sad part is a lowering tide drops all boats too. So, you know, it's this dynamic of be very mindful of the company you keep. I love the quotes that we've already dropped today. So we'll drop another one. So Jim Rohn, you know, he talked about, you know, you're the sum total of the five people you spend the most time with.
Yep.
And right.
Another one of his, are you going to share the other one he has?
Oh no, go for it.
Stand guard to the door of your brain.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that's, you know, There's a ton of people who make excuses for the people they hang out with, whether it's making excuses for an abusive relationship, making excuses for family members that they spend tons of time with, which is just another excuse for an abusive relationship purely because they're family, or, you know, because they're my coworker, so I have to put up with it. No, you don't, right? You get to choose who you spend your time with, and you get to choose who you get to emanate around. You know, hoping people have seen those tuning forks, like you put a bunch of tuning forks in the room, you hit one and they all resonate at the same frequency. The same crap happens when you're around people. So if you're around negative people who have a low tidal vibration, right, their boats have dropped. It's just a matter of time before you're going to emanate at the same level, because you're not going to want to make them feel bad, or you're going to, again, you're going to become a product of the environment. So the stronger or the clearer that your vision is, the picture of what you're going after, the deeper the resonance of your purpose, you'll be that first tuning fork that raises everyone else. And mysteriously, everyone starts to orchestrate together for your outcomes and for your benefits.
So we already talked about clarity. We talked about purpose. And now it's about your peer group. So explain to us, you know, your perspective of the importance of having that peer group, the challenge that we have in finding that peer group, and what are some of the solutions? What's this brilliant thing that you're bringing to the table that we can now tap into?
Yeah. So, you know, growing up, you know, I don't know if your mom ever told you, but it was that quib, right? It's, you know, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Mm-hmm. Right. So there's this dynamic of who you spend your time with, you will become. You know, on the last episode, we talked about the tuning forks, right?
Right.
Put a bunch of tuning forks in the room, even if they're different shapes and sizes, you hit the first one, everything's going to start to emanate at the same frequency of that driver. And so the same thing is true when it comes to our peer group, when it comes to, you know, if you're overweight and you hang out with a bunch of overweight people, you've got to really look at that. If you're overweight and you go change your peer group and you hang out with five bodybuilders, how long before your butt gets to the gym, right? How long before you're waking up and going on a walk in the morning, or how long before you start to make shifts in your nutrition, right? Either you're going to shift to their frequency or they're going to boot you out of their peer group, right? Because you'll derail them from their destination. Same thing's true with financial. If your money story isn't where, you know, if your financial situation isn't where you want it to be, go hang out with wealthy people. Very quickly, you'll start to adopt their beliefs. You'll start to see the opportunities that they see. You'll start to make financial decisions the way they do. You know, you won't go make emotional purchases because your peer group, guess what? They're not making emotional purchases. And so again, anytime somebody wants a shift in their life, the easiest, quickest way to do it is to change your peer group.
Right?
So a couple ways you can do it. First and foremost, you got to set boundaries and be clear on the peer group you have right now. That's where most people, they run against the wall, right? We make excuses for the people we hang out with. Oh, I've known them for forever. They're family. They're this, they're that. You've got to pump the brakes and get really clear. Go back to that vision of what is it that I'm going after? Why is it mission critical that I do it? And am I going to allow these different people in my world? It doesn't make them bad, but am I going to allow them to derail me or to keep me from having this impact?
Right.
So then the first question then becomes, well, what do I do about it? Well, some people you might need to cut off, and that might be a hard thing to do. There might be other people you just need to set boundaries with. Hey, I'll talk to you later today. I'll talk to you this weekend. I'll talk to you next millennium. I don't know. You know the people that are in your world that may or may not be helping you get to your destination. But the reality is there are a ton of amazing people that are out there that are committed to playing life at a higher level, that are committed to being successful, that are committed to elevating other people, because they know that, you know, it's not lonely at the top, right? It's just there's just a little bit more air up there, right? But the reality is people who climb to the top of the mountain, most of them don't like to climb alone. They like to climb with other people.
You know, is it sometimes that people don't feel that they're good enough and therefore they want to stick around the people that they're better than, so to speak, or they can't meet the standards of others and, you know, or they have to work too hard. I mean, what's up? What's up with that?
Yeah. So I'm going to out my sister on this, and I have four sisters. So, you know, if they're listening, they won't know which one I'm talking about, but I had one of my sisters, really, she's a beautiful girl. She always chose to hang out with her circle of friends was always four other people, and they always were overweight. And I was like, why the heck is she always choosing to hang out with these four other overweight girls? Well, when I confronted her about it, guess what? She got to be the prettiest girl in the group. So she got all the attention. Well, fast forward 10 years of that. Guess what happened to her? Just like we're talking about at the beginning. She gained weight. Well, now she was the prettiest overweight girl in the group, right? But the biggest piece of it was she didn't want to play on a bigger scale because she wanted to be the best or the smartest or the best looking in her microcosm.
Right.
And, you know, one of my mentors talked about it. You know, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. And so there does need to be a commitment. So I want to say something before I get into that. We'll lock that down. There does need to be a commitment to excellence. So that has to happen. But within that, if you're going to play small, or if you're, you know, there's a big ass difference between satisfied and comfortable.
Right.
Or content, satisfied and content. Those are two very different animals. So you can be content or grateful with the life that you have. It doesn't mean you have to be satisfied. Right. I think so many people give up on what could be, thinking, you know, they take that spiritual monk, or they go the stoic route of I should have nothing and I should be content with nothing. And I'm of a different belief, right? I go more on the tantric side of we should experience pleasure to the highest level, be grateful for every experience we have, and never be satisfied. The moment I'm satisfied, bury me in the ground. So I do believe, and I shouldn't say I believe, I know there's a ton of people that are out there that play life that same way. And that's why we created the program we created, was so people could find those other people that play that way.
Well, tell us about your program.
So my business partner and I, we developed a program called Proximity Ladder. And at the core ethos of it, it actually stemmed from, it's an interesting place. He wanted to cut down on his drinking. And the reality was he didn't want to go to AA because he's like, well, in the same context, what we're talking about.
Right.
But if I go hang out with a bunch of addicts and I'm trying to kick the habit, like, who am I identifying as? What's my resonance going to be? And like, that's not the destination I want to go to.
Right.
And no knock on AA. I definitely think it has its place and its purpose. But for him, he wanted something that was more aspirational, that would elevate and take his life to a new level. And at the same time, cut down on the things that he was doing that wasn't the healthiest for his body. So that was where the first conception of Proximity Ladder came from. And in building that out and, you know, designing this, we took the personal development background, plus the health background, plus the dynamics of his tech marketing background. And we created a group that has meetings every single day. So any, you can be anywhere on the planet. Every single day we have a meeting that's available. And it really is just straight accountability and peers elevating peers. So our core hook is, you know what you should be doing, but you aren't doing it. Great. We're the group for you, right? So it's not tons of content, information overload. It's not about learning 5 million different ways to do what you want to do or you need to do. It's about doing what you already know to the highest level.
Yeah, so, it's interesting because first of all, you know, we do so much better when we start measuring. You know, it's no different than, you know, if you're not measuring how many steps you take and suddenly, you know, per day, now you're measuring them and you realize, well, I'm way down the 10,000 steps I need to be taking every day. And suddenly you realize you're doing that much better. I think the other part that's really interesting, and especially anybody who's listening right now, and you probably experienced this yourself, is that when you go to the gym and there's a lot of people there, you do a lot better than when you're on your own. And so we do better when we're being observed. But I think there's another sort of psychic or spiritual element to this. And that's the need for integrity and to honor, you know, our word. And so when we say that we are going to be doing something, you know, if we don't say that, but we say it to ourselves, then, you know, there's nobody watching out for us. And so again, there's that component, I think, that really causes, and then one last thing, if I may, is that then you have a group of people that really hold you to your standard.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I was just going to make reference to Robert Cialdini's work. I don't know, have you done or read much of Robert Cialdini?
I have not, but I know who he is.
Yes, he has a book called The Power to Influence. And so there was this fascinating study that he had done in there. And when people would say, hey, I will do X, Y, and Z, right? Their commitment level or them actually following through was like a 30 to 40%. As soon as the question was posed back and they'd say, well, do you promise? The moment they said, I promise, their commitment level and them actually following through with their commitments jumped up to like 92%.
Wow.
Right? Then when they would follow up to make sure that they did the thing, it jumped to like 98%. So there's so much power in us as human beings being men and women of our word, and then having that group dynamic to hold your ass to the fire. It's crazy. We had somebody in the group this last month. He came to the group and he said, I want to lose weight. I'm like, great. How much weight do you want to lose? So he threw out his number. And in the last 26 days, he's lost 26 pounds. And he shows up every single day. Not that everybody needs to show up daily. It's more of like a gym membership where you come as frequently as you want, come once a week, every other week, whatever. But he said, I'm going to just show up every day for a month. And I'm going to see what happens. And so each day he would come and he'd make his commitment. Here's what I'm going to eat. Here's what I'm not going to eat. Here's what I'm going to do. 26 days, 26 pounds he dropped.
Wow.
He didn't learn any new science. He didn't learn anything, earth shattering or take some magic pill. It was just literally doing the crap that we already know we should do.
Right. And that's what it is, isn't it? As I'm thinking about this, it kind of sort of helps us stay focused. It's like you said earlier, what you focus on, energy goes.
Yeah.
And so, we're making sure that, because we've got this group of people around us, that we stay, front and center with, what we said, what we're going to do. Because in this day and age, it's always so easy to get distracted. I mean, I had that experience today. As I'm putting this awesome program together for doctors to kind of reevaluate, the practices and evolve into a better, future medical dynamic with our communities. It's really exciting. But as exciting as it is, I get distracted and, oh, maybe I can do this right now. We were talking about, these all-terrain vehicles that we have, and I had to go take care of that too. And so, but if I had somebody that's kind of breathing on my neck and says, no, stay focused, then I would have achieved a lot more. So I think, having that, and again, of course, where you find that. So how do people get involved with your program? And obviously, is it multiple groups how it works? Or how do people get engaged?
It's really cool and really simple the way we structured it. So what we actually offer is, if you go to proximityladder.com, the first week's a whopping $1. So the way I frame it, if you're not willing to invest a dollar into your future, get out of the game. But ongoing thereafter, it's a whole $97 per month. But it's just like a gym membership. So every day we have meetings. Everybody comes to the meeting together at first, and we do a whole section where we get people in the right state of mind. We get their physiology in the right space. And then we break into groups of five. So you're never in a group with more than five people. So you have your tribe of five, and everybody's there with the same outcome. And there's this, there's a process everyone gets to go through. So people get to declare their outcomes, why they're there, the mission that they're on. And we have a whole system to help people get clarity around that. And then there's the accountability. Did you do or did you not do what you said you were going to do? What happened? Why? Was it success and celebrate, or was it, struggle and you got to learn? Then you get to ask for support from the group, whether it's feedback, strategies, different hacks or creative ways to get to the destination. And then you make a declaration of what you're going to do between that moment and the next meeting. So it's really, really simple at its base. But again, the power of everyone resonating together and that common dynamic. And then the other part is there's a really strong Facebook group for support in between that as well. And yeah, the community is just amazing. People are doing amazing things. And usually it's that piece of like simplicity is key, right? So we don't want to make it overly complex. It's just make one commitment today, one step forward, 1% better. And the compounding effect is just astronomical. So
yeah, it's that compounding effect. I mean, even small improvements every single day. I mean, you just think about this. If you just improved 1% every single day, at the end of the month, you're 30% better, right?
Yeah.
So what happens after a year? I haven't figured that one out yet. But here's the thing too. And what I love about what you're sharing, which I think is critical, and me being this world just like you in personal development and changing and transforming, we get stuck. And then when you get stuck, it's like, holy crap, what do I do next? And so part of what needs to happen is having that accountability group where you then declare, hey, I got stuck, and not shaming yourself for it, but just having the opportunity to publicly share, look, I got stuck. And in that process in of itself, I can imagine then people come up with solutions if they don't get the solutions from their group as well. And so there's a neat interplay, I think, that I'm sensing is that, you know, when you are stuck, you really want to get unstuck. And this is a beautiful way. You've created a beautiful way to do that.
And, you know, it's, I know we've talked some different philosophy over the course of these couple episodes, but, you know, Confucius, you know, he mentioned, you know, it doesn't matter how slowly you go, so long as you do not stop. And I think that that's really such a core ethos of what our program and what our tribe has created is, it's not about sprinting for the whole marathon. No, it's about making micro steps every single day, but consistently moving forward. And again, another one of my mentor, you know, Tony mentioned, you know, progress equals happiness. So we're seeing that these people who come in who are perhaps confused or they feel stuck, gaining clarity, recalibrating on their purpose, making declarations moving forward, and then magically they start to feel better, and magically it starts to get easier, and magically the snowball starts to go, and poof, 3 weeks in, you're losing 26 pounds of fat and, you know, donating it to the universe. So
yeah, and definitely and having cool. A group that's celebrating with you too. And I know this is a big issue with the Olympics in Tokyo without having, you know, the public there. And I think some people are already, you know, having a challenge. You know, I'm not inspired. I'm not motivated. I'm not energized without the audience, you know, cheering me along. I mean, that's got to be tough. And as much as these athletes are phenomenal, you know, they're being driven by the success as people see them and celebrate their successes. So that's awesome. Well, I love the fact. So how do people find you?
So yeah, so if you go to proximityladder.com, so proximityladder.com, super easy to go there. If you want to reach out to me directly for any reason, you have any specific questions, you can go to brookbishop.com, brookbishop.com. But yeah, no, we're on a mission to help transform the world. We're always looking for people who are committed to excellence and playing life at a higher level. And we know that the magic really does come from putting these groups together and just watching, you know, one and one not being two, but one and one being 11. So for anyone who is wanting to participate, you know, it's a whole $1 to see if we're the right tribe for you and see if it jives, see if it resonates.
I love it. And we'll use that as the last word, you know, finding that community, that peer group that's going to spiral you upwards to your success, because you know what, you deserve that. And we all deserve that help, you know, from our peer group. Brooke, thank you so much. And
thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm Dr. Bart Rademacher, and this is Prescription for Your Transformation. Real people, real conversations, and real success. You know, tapping into that incredible collective wisdom. And I'm super excited and honored to consider or to have Brooke as my friend, my mentor, my advisor, my coach, whatever, because it's definitely helped me in so many different ways, so that I also can impact others. And so you deserve that as well. You know, reach out to him, reach out to his program, the Proximity Ladder, and experience the same thing that I have. So thank you so much, and I'll be back.
Thanks for listening to Dr. Rademacher's Prescription for Transformation. Join Dr. Bart Rademacher live right here on StarWorldwideNetworks.com or on demand 24/7.